Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome to the Coco Express Show for Saturday the 22nd of 2012. Me and my years are all mixed up today. However, it's not time for us. It's time for Paradigm Shifters. So I would like to take this opportunity to thank all the people who have come to join me on Paradigm Shifters. That's Steve Duncanson and Marilyn Ocasio-Medina for just making this such a wonderful, wonderful learning experience for me. Now, I will stop talking, and I will bring to you the wonderful, amazing Steve Duncanson and Marilyn Ocasio, Paradigm Shifters.
Paradigm Shifters. Principles for Life and Success, hosted by motivationalist Steve Duncanson. Start framing your tomorrows today.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another segment of Paradigm Shifters, Principles for Life and Success. My name is Steve Duncanson. I'm pleased to be able to be with you here today. I'm not just glad that I am here. I'm also glad to welcome back once again on the line Marilyn Ocasio-Medina and also Aurelia Lyles. How are you both?
Good.
Hi, great. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. Can you guys actually believe, first of all, let me wish you and also all the listeners a happy holidays. Now, I want to be a bit specific. You know, Merry Christmas, everyone. You know, hey, this is my show. It's my belief.
All right, Merry Christmas.
Certainly wish happy holidays to everyone. Happy Hanukkah, and this season has come around very quickly once again. I don't know. How about for you? Does it seem like it went fast?
Too fast.
Yeah, it goes very, very quickly. We are at the, this is the 12th session we've done for this year. Again, one in a month. And each of the sessions come up quickly, and which obviously translates into the year going by very fast as well. But I certainly have enjoyed it and learned a lot. How about you guys?
Oh, my
definitely.
Son. Yes.
Yes, indeed. Good. Well, just in closing out the year, as we oftentimes do, we do not a recap of all the shows, but we just talk about some of the biggest lessons for the year. What is it we learn, and what it is that we want to be able to carry into the new year? I think it's one of the things that's critically important to be able to do, to take some time to contemplate what one has learned. I certainly don't want to wait till the end of the year, but at various periods of time, what do we get? What do we learn? What do we take away? Be reflective so that we can be intentional. And being intentional requires that, right? To think about what you're doing, not simply knee-jerk react based on circumstances, but the aspect of setting goals and being intentional and bringing into existence the things that you want. You know, we talked about the last several sessions of our year. We talked about the law of attraction, right? And that for it to work for you in the positive, because it's always working, right, Marilyn? Right? It's always working.
It's always working.
For it to work for you in the positive, it really requires some reflection and intention. And so I think as we discuss some of our lessons of the year, it will put us in the best position to be able to do that moving into 2013. Even though, really, you try to put us back at 2002 in your introduction. I was listening. We are in 2012, about to enter 2013. And so, I'm actually glad you guys are still here, because wasn't the world supposed to end, 2 days ago?
Yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah, I was too busy for the world to end. I had stuff to do.
Here we are.
It's in the day. Hey, it's a new world. It's the beginning.
But, you know, I firmly believe, again, in the book of Matthew 24, it says, no man knows the hour, you know, at the time when it will. So when people say it's going to end here, going to end there, I don't think so. But a friend of mine posted on her Facebook page, said, those of you that believe the world is going to end on December 21st, bring all your valuables by my house the night of the 20th. Right? Give me the bank account numbers, all kinds of stuff like that, you know. But thankfully, we are here. We have another day, which means we have another chance, another opportunity for greatness, another opportunity to achieve and realize our dreams. And that's kind of really what we're all about. It's really what we're all about. So, so before we get into our lessons of 2012, do any, either of you have anything you want to say to our listeners before we kick this off?
Yeah, Steve, I would like to recap on what you said on, you know, achieving our dreams and achieving our goals. You know, this is a good time to reflect on the things that we want and what's important to us. And, you know, all kidding aside with, you know, people saying that the world is going to end on, you know, yesterday, December 21st, there's one lesson there, you know, don't believe everything you hear. But anyway, it's also an opportunity for us to take time to reflect on the things that we really want. Let's say if we did know the day and the hour, okay, that this is going to be the last day of our lives. Did you accomplish everything that you wanted in your life? Did you let the people that are dear to you, your loved ones, did you let them know that you love them? Did you show that? And those are the things that we want to think about, you know, take time and reflect and say, what if it was my last day? Did I do everything that I wanted to do? Did I achieve everything that I wanted to accomplish? Do I have dreams that are unfulfilled? Because if you do have dreams that are still unfulfilled, it's never too late to achieve it. And the way we do that is by becoming inspired. And the way we become inspired is by listening to our inner selves, taking some quiet time to meditate, reflect, and then the answers will come to us, and our inspiration is what will move us.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, it made me think about that song that Mace wrote a couple years ago. That's called 24 Hours to Live. Do you remember that?
Mace?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you don't remember that song, right?
I do remember that one. But don't ask me to, you know, because I'm not good at that.
You know, I think part of the lyrics was something like, yeah, 24 hours to live. Where would you go? What would you do? And who would you tell? I mean, he had some other language in there that couldn't necessarily wouldn't use on our show here. But you really bring up an interesting line of thinking, Marilyn, with that. So if we did really have 24 hours, what would you do in that time frame? You know, and because we are oftentimes so scattered and haven't really made goals and taken action on the things that we should. Would we really make the most use of that time? And, you know, that really is a great segue into, if I could kick off this, you know, the lessons of 2012. One of the ones that I wrote down was, things won't change just because you want or expect them to. You have to make them happen. In other words, the get up, get out, and go get it sort of mindset. Now, I'm reminded of a story that Les Brown told. I heard Les tell, you know, several years ago about a man who was going for a walk past a house, and he saw a bunch of people sitting on the porch, and along with them on the porch, there was a dog sitting on the porch, and the dog is whining and crying, and so the man asked the people on the porch, well, what's wrong with the dog? And they said, well, the dog is laying on a nail that's sticking up through the floorboard on the porch. And so the man asked, well, why doesn't the dog get up and move to a different spot? And the man replied, well, because it doesn't really hurt him enough to move. It only hurts him enough to make him complain. Hmm. And when I thought about that, isn't that the way it is with so many people? You know, we don't really do everything necessary. Even though we want things to change, we don't do everything necessary to make it change because it doesn't really hurt enough for us to make those kind of changes, to take those steps, you know. And so just one of that's reinforced lesson for me. You know, so many things that even in my business that I wanted to see happen, relationships I wanted to cultivate and stuff, as much as I wanted it, they didn't come to fruition just because I wanted or even expected. Though wanting and expecting are important parts of attracting things into your life. Yet, in order for it to come to fruition, there's some things I had to do proactively in order to bring it into existence. So, again, that's my first one of my lessons. Things won't change because you want or expect them to, but because you get up, get out, and go get it. Who's next?
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, Steve. We can't just expect things to happen. And one thing, not only for ourselves, but also expecting things from other people, one thing that I say is that I will give, and it's all about giving and showing love, but I will never expect anything in return, and you will never be disappointed. And that's what I say. I don't expect anything from anyone, and then I will not be disappointed. And it's not about receiving, but it's about giving. And another thing that you mentioned was about, you know, having a goal and going after it. And I found that one thing that will motivate you and inspire you is to know your reason why. So you have to ask yourself why. Well, why do I want to accomplish this? If you want a certain amount of money by, let's say, within a month, it's a short-term goal, why do you want it? Is it because you want to go on vacation, your retirement, you want a certain amount? Why do you want that? And when you ask your reason why and know why and have that vision, that will keep you motivated. And not only will it motivate you, it will inspire you because motivation and inspiration are two different things. As Dr. Wayne Dyer explains it, inspiration is when an idea takes hold of you and that idea will move you to a place where you were meant to be. You're inspired. And the motivation is when you have an idea and your ego is what's pushing you to achieve that goal and you have to really work hard at it. And so it's an important yet subtle distinction. And when you're inspired, because this is what your spirit is telling you to do, this is what you want to do, it's your purpose, then your energy will flow almost effortlessly. Like when you see a painter, a singer, a dancer, it's effortlessly because that comes from their inspiration.
Sounds good. So being inspired, being motivated, and having. Now I thought I heard you say that about that, but not expecting anything, so you won't be disappointed.
Right.
We're gonna have to put that on the back burner for one of the early sessions next year. I don't know if I agree with that too much, but but I do understand the essence of what is it you're talking about, and
right.
So I think that there's benefit that can be
gained
from
That's my way of thinking. That's how I look at things. That, you know, not to expect anything from anyone, and I won't be disappointed. I know with certain things you do have expectations of certain people. Let's say with if you're in a business and you have employees, you're going to have expectations of them. So yes, absolutely. But with different issues and personal circumstances, you know, when you're giving, that you're not expecting anything in return, and sometimes you won't even receive a thank you. But you know that what you did it from your heart, and if the person doesn't say thank you, then that's their thing, that's their issue. But within yourself, you know that you're doing the right thing, and you feel so good because you know that you're doing the right thing.
In the context of giving, I understand what you're saying. So certainly I may have some agreement with that. Aurelia, we understand we have a caller that wants to share with us today?
Yes, hold on.
Great, who do we have?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on.
Yes.
Hello. What's your name?
How you doing? My name's Terry.
Hey, Terry. How are you?
Good. Hi, Marilyn. How are you?
Hi, Terry. Good. How are you?
Good. I do enjoy listening to the show, and I just kind of want to give a couple of my thoughts on what you guys have been talking about. One thing that I let people know is, you know, because you're talking about in the world and stuff and everything. I told people, I said, you know, There's only one person that knows when the world's going to end, and he hasn't shared that with anyone, so we don't know that.
Right.
So, but what I tell people is, if you really want to get the most out of your life, you know, is think about what your life expectation is. So if you think you're going to live like another 10 years, then take 3,650 days and put it on a calendar and then take one off every day, and you're putting your days backwards, and that's where you're, you know, kind of expect what you're going to do. It kind of gives you a reality of really how much time you have left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing. The other thing that Marilyn was talking about with the goals and stuff, you know, I explain to people, you know, you can dream about stuff and it will never happen. But if you set a goal and have a plan to meet that goal, now that's a dream that can come true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the difference between a dream and a goal is, you have, you know, with a goal, you have a plan to make it happen. With a dream, you don't ever have a plan to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
thank you for sharing those, Terry. I think those are both, you know, both valuable lessons. You know, the, you know, what you shared in the beginning there really is about determining, you know, 10 years from now and then counting up those number of days, like 3,625 days, right? To be able to begin with the end in mind, go to the end. Where do you want to be? And then back up and start. I think that's a principle of the universe across the board. You know that.
We're always looking forward to, like, you know, in 10 years from now, you know, I want to have this. But if you actually put those days and start tearing the numbers backwards, mm-hmm. and start seeing that time is counting down, now you start seeing a reality that, you know, this is how much time I have left. You know,
absolutely.
I don't have 10 years. I have this many days, and then it starts going backwards on you. So when you start looking at it backwards instead of forward, it makes you have a more reality of what's going on.
No doubt about it. And the irony of that is that it causes you to focus on the only portion of that time that you really have control of, which is right now, that you can take action in the moment. Because you can't take action in the future, you can only take action in the moment. And so though you lay out the plan for that entire period of time, it backs you up to, okay, what am I going to do not only today with this hour, but with this minute? What am I going to do? But having that plan for it is critically important. The aspect of goal that you mentioned in dream, and we talked about that a little bit earlier on in the year, I think, and we talked about the difference between a wish and a dream. The wish, it doesn't require anything from you, right? The waiting idly for something to happen. But it's the dream in this context, a desire requiring energy and action for manifestation. In other words, you have to be able to do something about it. We liken the example of Dr. King not saying, I have a wish, when he stood on the steps of the Capitol. He had a dream, but that dream drove him to take action in the moment to bring into existence the thing that he wanted. And so I think if we incorporate all these things together, we certainly get to the point where we have a life that is fully realized and not just one that is lived by someone else, but by you.
He took that dream and turned it into a goal and made a plan to make it happen, and that's how it happened. Otherwise, if he would have kept it as a dream, it would have never happened. But he turned that dream into a goal. That dream was a vision, and then he turned it into a goal, and he made a plan to make it happen, and that's what the difference is between a goal and a dream.
Well, again, I think that depends on how you define it, and the definition that because anything, clarity of thinking demands that clarity definition, and I think it, based on, because we're saying the same thing essentially, I just embrace the aspect of dreaming because of its value, yet it's the starting point, yet it is not the end point, because as you said, that has to be translated into some tangible action, which is a desire that you have that requires energy and action for manifestation, that if it's going to come into existence. Once again, I think we're saying the same thing, but I'm embracing the value of a dream and linking it with a goal. They are synonymous in this context.
Okay.
Yeah. And one more point with what you said about people wanting to change in their life. I tell people this every day with the work that I do, because, you know, I talk to people that want to change their life all the time. They talk about, well, I want to change this, I want to change that. I tell them, I'm like, if you want to have a change in your life, you have to make changes in your life.
Mm-hmm.
same thing over and over, you're not going to have that change.
Right.
You know, right. And you can't expect a change in your life if you don't change things. I said, so you have to make changes to have a change. You know what I mean?
There you go.
So.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Things will always remain the same until you do something about it to make it be different. Terry, thank you so very much for listening throughout the year. Thank you for your contribution today. And we wish you a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year, my brother. Thank you for calling in.
Merry Christmas to you and all. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
You know, he brings out some really, really great points, you know, about, I think we're all, once again, saying the same thing about not just allowing things to sit and hope that they will work out, but actually doing something about it in the moment, making it tangible, not just letting being conceptual, but if it's going to happen, it's because you did something to make it happen. So I think we're all consistent with regard to that. Aurelia, did you have a lesson?
Yes, I did, and it was something that I knew a long time ago, but I just started to re-embrace it again, and it was the whole concept of asking and you will receive and knocking the door will be open to you. That's how everything has transpired for me in life and in regards to this particular show as well. It's like I just asked, and there it was, and when I knocked on certain doors, I thought those doors were not open for me, but they did.
Yeah, I heard someone post something once, and then I heard it subsequently. Right, said that closed mouths don't get fed. Right, the fact that you gotta open your mouth and ask for what is it you want, and seek and knock are the others, you know, the aspects of it, and that's when the doors will be open, and not being afraid to do it. Because I don't know about you, but I've definitely been in situations where I have felt apprehensive about asking for what it is that I want, even from the simplest thing, you know, in a restaurant where you might feel like, I don't want to be bothered because I don't know what they're going to do with my stuff when it gets in the kitchen, right? But whatever it might be, asking for what you want, which then sets up the expectation, right? Because you can't expect, if you haven't asked anything, why expect it, right? But the reality is that you do that, not be afraid. That's a great lesson. That's really a great lesson. Marilyn, you wanted to add to that?
Yes, I would love to add to that. That is a great lesson. Aurelia, you reminded me of a lesson that I received, or I looked at it more as a message, because I think we all have a hard time with that. And ever since I was a little girl, I've had a hard time with that, you know, asking for help or asking, more. It's like Aurelia said, ask and you shall receive. And I've always had a hard time asking. And one time, this was very recent, and it was during the warmer days. I was by the ocean. I was looking out by the pier, and just, you know, doing my meditating. I had a hard, rough week that week, and I was by the ocean. That always relaxes me. That's where I do my meditating. And I had my car keys and my house in my hand, and I don't know what happened, and my keys fell right into the ocean. And that situation seemed helpless, and I didn't know what I was going to do. You know, my car keys were there, my house keys. I was 1 hour away from home. So I didn't panic. I remained relaxed, but I said, now, you know, what am I going to do? And I'm just, you know, and I'm just standing there. There are people around. There was someone fishing. There was a surfer. There was a dad with two of his girls. And I'm just standing there looking into the ocean, and I'm like, wow, what am I going to do now? And then these girls looked at me and said, I see some keys there. They were able to see them when the waves were going by. But those are my car keys. And by the time I knew it, those girls told their dad. Another lady went to get a surfer. This other man was trying. And all these people around me were helping me. And what seemed like a helpless situation to me, you know, they had someone went to get the surfer, and he showed up, and by the time he showed up, I had these two girls that went into the ocean, and it was cold out. It was very cold for them to go into the ocean. So he had all these people around me willing to help me, people that I didn't even know, with a situation that seemed helpless. And I got my keys back. So what that message was for me was that there are always people around you, right in front of you, willing to help if you just ask.
Mm.
That was a very big lesson for me, that no matter how first, no matter how helpless a situation may seem, it's not as hopeless as we think because there are always people around to help us.
Oh, that's good. That's great. I think that's an important aspect. Because if a person doesn't believe that someone is there, that you won't even see the person that is there. So interesting,
right?
how the brain works. Many times we lost something that's, you couldn't find something that's right in front of your face, right? That pencil that's right on your desk, your glasses that are right on your head, right? You know, in psychology, that's called a scotoma, right? A blind spot in the consciousness of the mind. But I think when you have the expectation, you're willing to seek it out, to ask, and you will find the thing that you're looking for is and the ability to be able to attain it is right there in front of you. It reminds me of that poem I heard some time ago. Like, it's called "I Bargained with Life." I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged each evening as I counted my scanty store. You see, life is a just rewarder; it pays you what you ask. But once you set the wages, why, you must bear the task. I bargained with life for a menial's wage, only to learn dismayed that anything I would have asked of life, life would have willingly paid. And so being willing to stretch out and to ask for the thing that you want, and then link that with your expectation and your action. Terry was right about that action that has to be there, that will bring the thing into fruition that we are actually looking for. I think we might have time for one more lesson each, if we do it quickly. So
I kind of extended the time a little bit so that we could each get our lessons in, if it's okay.
Okay,
yay.
That'll be fine. Okie dokie. So, my lesson number two is a bit close to home, having to do with my kids. You know, how many times have we talked to our children and we share things with, you know, from the lessons that we learned from our life, more often than not the mistakes, right? Because we learn more from our mistakes than we do from our successes, that's across the board. But you wonder, are they really listening? And I had a couple of occasions throughout the course of the year to listen to my children talk to their friends about some things. Both my eldest daughter and my twins, you know, most specifically my youngest son. And when I hear the things that they say to their friends, or their friends calling them, asking them for advice, and hear their responses, I recognize, well, geez, they are listening after all. They are paying attention. And though this should be something that would be obvious and inherent, I know that I'm not the only parent who ever wondered, are they really listening? The reality is this: when it comes to communication, we are always communicating. The key is what we want communicated being communicated. Right, and so you only tell you can tell that by the feedback that you get. And so some of the feedback that I got from just observing and listening to my kids this throughout the course of this year is that they are listening, and there is great hope, you know, for the future.
Oh, that's excellent.
That is excellent. And I was going to talk about something else, but Steve, now that you mentioned the kids, I have to mention this about my daughter and how they do listen. And, you know, you don't think they're listening, but they do, and they learn so much from what they hear. And children are a reflection of ourselves. And sometimes they remind us what we're telling others and teaching others. I mean, we go through hard times sometimes, and we tend to forget. And then someone has to remind us. And that happened to me one day. My daughter reminded me, and I could not believe what was coming out of her mouth, because I said something about, you know, I have these battles that I have to fight, but I let God fight my battles. And what she said to me was, well, you know what, Mommy? You have to fight your own battles, because God allows these battles to happen so that you can learn from them and grow as a person. And
wow.
I was so, I don't know if those are the exact words, but it was amazing. And I said, wow, I have to write this one down. She is, and I just gave her a hug, and I said, wow, Melanie, that just meant so much to me. And it almost felt like I was listening to myself, and just to hear the way she was speaking. And I think that's what I would say to someone. And so that just comes to show how children do listen, and they learn from us. And for her, 13 years old, giving me advice. very wise, and that meant a lot to me. So, Steve, you're so right when you say that, you know, children listen and they learn lessons from us.
Great. Excellent. Very good.
Yeah.
Aurelia, your second lesson.
My second lesson, you really have to believe in your abilities. If you don't, nobody else will. So that is what is important. You have to believe in your abilities. You have them. Everything that you need is inside of you. Just go forth and do it.
What made that be a lesson for you? What happened to cause that to be big?
Okay. Well, I took on a new job, and it was completely out of my realm of understanding or training. However, I've been trained to do other things in other ways and other places, and I have the skill set necessary to do the job, but I just doubted my ability because it was foreign to me. And while I was doubting, I was messing up. But the moment that I just said, you know what, everything I need, I already know. I have the skills. I have the ability. I just have to know that I can do it before I can show anybody else. And that's what happened. I turned the situation around.
That's good. It's really great. You know, it's the power of belief. It begins everything, right? Beliefs, thoughts, feelings, action, results. And so what you believe about you, the most important thing. We talked about the self-concept and how it's made up of our self-image, self-esteem, self-worth, and self-efficacy, right? And that last one, the self-efficacy, is a belief in oneself that you can make things happen. You have the power to make things happen. And having that is critically important because, you know, stuff's going to continue to come against us. That we are going to be challenged. That's just the way, that's life, right? The fight for territory that we've always talked about. And if you don't believe in yourself that you can do it, you know, the irony, once again, is these things, the universe balances out because whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, right? It's that same belief that's going to bring you the result. So you might as well believe that you can and then do what's necessary. You know, I find myself, I had to do a keynote talk this past week at a for an organization in New Jersey, and there were just some things that you know, had come in with what went on last week and stuff like that. There, I hadn't prepared the best that I would like to have. There was more than I would like to have done, and there some doubts started coming into mind. Even as much as I do this on a regular basis and can extemporaneously speak for like an hour on something, I felt inside myself that I wasn't fully prepared, but you know, I began to talk to myself and say that, look, the hour is going to come and go. You're going to stand in front of these people for an hour anyway. What you do during that hour is going to be up to you. So you put that work in. You've been putting work in all year long. Just you step forward and do it. Believe in your ability to deliver value based on the value that's been delivered to you and share that with others. And because of that, the talk went extremely well. But very much as you're saying there, Aurelia, it really is about believing in yourself to be able to do what you've been purposed in life to do. And so I think that's critical. Great lesson.
Thank you.
Lesson number three, my lesson number three, and that comes as a result of some things that have taken place. Both you, Marilyn, you and Aurelia know what I've dealt with over the last week, the last 2 weeks, and the loss of a very good friend of mine who committed suicide, and also the atrocity that took place in Connecticut last week. But amidst all, you know, it certainly is a reminder that there are some horrible things in life do happen. There's no doubt about it, you know. But I noticed in looking at the funerals, some of those services online for the 20 children and 6 adults that were killed in Connecticut, and then even my good friend who passed away, and how everyone commemorated her life, and there were thousands of officers that were lined out in front of the church and everything else like that. And then after, you know, there was a repast, and then everyone went back to work. We still remember her, but the thing that just rang out real loud in my head was these three simple words: life goes on.
Mm-hmm.
In order for us to be able to certainly it's challenging to try to make sense of why someone may have taken their lives or why that psycho went in there and killed those. I mean, those are questions that we can never answer, and to focus on those are disempowering. What we have to focus on is certainly embracing the memory of those individuals, but recognizing that irrespective of anything that happens, life goes on. And so what am I going to do with the life that I have? You know, we talked about that Earl Nightingale's strangest secret, the E plus R equals O, event plus response equals outcome. It embraces that truth, and then things may happen, and because of those, other things may happen. And as bad as things may seem, whatever may take place, recognize that life goes on. And so there should always be hope. My acronym for hope: having optimism produces effort. Human optimism produces effort. And being optimistic about the future, no matter what happens, recognizing life is going to go on, and it can be positive. If we do a lot of the things that we talked about thus far on this program, if we believe, if we set goals, if we take action, if we get up, get out, and go get it, all those sorts of things, that's what we'll continue to create the life for us that we want. But recognizing that you try to utilize a permanent solution for a temporary problem, because life goes on.
Mm. Wow.
That is profound, Steve.
That is.
Indeed. You're leaving us speechless.
Yeah, no, we can't be speechless. We're on the radio show. We're
speechless. I'm in awe.
All right, Marilyn, so what's your third lesson for this year for us?
Well, first, thank you for those words of encouragement, Steve. Those are absolutely beautiful words. And because, you know, so many people, you know, we suffer. We suffer for those that are suffering, for those that are going through such challenging times. And it's hard for us to say life goes on, you know. And I totally agree with you, where we can't be prisoners of our thoughts. We can't be prisoners of our past. And we have to move forward. And our thoughts is what makes us feel how we feel. So, you know, we have to be very careful how we choose our thoughts and remain, you know, in the positive thoughts. So once again, thank you so much for that, Steve. And we're talking about lessons here, and I say a third lesson, just like you said, Avril, is to believe in yourself, and not only believe in yourself and your abilities, but to trust your gut, trust your spirit. If you have something, you know, sometimes we have this gut feeling, and we don't listen to it, and that's our spirit. That's our spirit talking to us, telling us, you know, what to do, and sometimes that's how we get insight. And we should not ignore these insights. It's like receiving sometimes like a flash or, you know, something. And it's so important. And these need to be acted on immediately because they're a vital step in helping to get what you want. For example, you may have a strong feeling to call a friend.
Mm.
And when you call that friend says, you are the person that I needed to talk to. I needed to hear your voice. You are comforting me right now. And that happened to me. I had a situation once where I just had this insight, and I was on the bus on my way to the city, and I had this really strong feeling that I should call this person. And I called her at the right time because she was in a very, very, very her saddest moment, and she was having really bad thoughts at that time, so I caught her just in time. And if I hadn't acted on that feeling, on that gut feeling, I don't know what would have happened. Mm-hmm. So another thing besides believing in yourself and your abilities is to trust that gut, because that's mm-hmm. what it comes to us, and we have to listen to it.
Yeah, that's good. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Trust your gut.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. And Aurelia.
Yes.
Your third lesson.
My last and final lesson. Well, it's not my final lesson because I'm going to be learning lessons. I'm going to be learning lessons for the rest of my life. However, it's kind of twofold that you should be a bright spot in somebody's life. Every life that you touch, be a bright spot, and don't be afraid to feel.
Mm.
And I say that because we oftentimes we shy away from situations because they may require us to have some kind of emotional attachment to it. We may be afraid to get involved in a situation because we're afraid that we'll get so attached to it we won't want it to when it ends, we're going to be depressed. But we have to really engage in these things, engage in life, because the object of the exercise of living is feeling.
Mm.
And, you know, because you hold things in, you got all this stress bottled up, and that's just not a good thing because that'll kill you. And that's what I've learned. You really have to just engage in life, be a bright spot for people, and embrace the feelings that you have and share them. It's okay. It's all right. That was my lesson.
Mm. You know, you said something there that really kind of resonated. You said the purpose of this experience of life is feeling. Is that what you said?
The object of the exercise of life is feeling and engaging in being alive. That's part of being alive.
Mm, yeah, that's good. That's strong. I like that. You know, I think that certainly we cannot separate. We are thinking, feeling, acting beings, and I think that feeling aspect is important. It puts us in touch with our surroundings. It also, and both the physical and the intangible aspects of our existence, our surroundings, and being in touch with that is something that's critically important, as you said. You know, guys, I've shared some time ago about the meaning of life in general, right? And life is essentially about the lessons that are being taught, lessons in framing events, how we couch those events that take place. And I think that as we continue to live our lives, that we should live it with our antennae up. What am I learning today? And that I can share. What is it that I'm feeling in the moment that I can act on that will create for me the benefit for myself and others along the way? Life is always teaching. The key is, are we learning? Because any lessons that aren't learned have to be repeated. There are no social promotions in life. You don't learn the lesson, you got to go back, right? So the key is we want to make sure that we are learning so that we are progressing, that we're not just getting older, but that we're becoming wiser, not only for ourselves, but for those who follow us. And so, again, as we bring this session to a close and this year to a close, that we remember that aspect, to take the time to reflect. Begin this last week of the year. Use this last week to set up the next year. In other words, you know, again, I can't referring to what Terry mentioned earlier about setting goals and the things we want to lay out for ourselves moving forward. All the things that we've incorporated, take them from simply being just words to being action points in our lives so that these lessons that we are learning can benefit us and all those that are around us as well. Live life with your antennae up and live with intention. Live with desire to love others, to benefit others, and because of the law of reciprocity, you can't help but also benefit yourself. I want to thank both of you, Aurelia and Marilyn, for your patience with me throughout the year. When we talked about the beginning of the session, you know, you guys who are on the radio, you know, our listeners don't know the job they have in trying to catch up with me and figure out what are we going to talk about this week and, you know, how's it going to work. You guys have been very patient with me. I greatly appreciate you, the contributions that you've made, not only to this program, but to my life throughout the course of the year. I wish you guys Merry Christmas, very happy New Year. Thank you for being who you are. Listeners, thank you for taking your time to tuning in with us. Once again, we wish you a very happy, healthy, Merry Christmas and a happy, healthy New Year. Ladies, I didn't mean to preempt you from you know, signing off for our listeners. So I'd just like to give you an opportunity to be able to do that.
Oh, Marilyn.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to say thank you, Steve, and thank you, Aurelia. It's been wonderful. Thank you for making me a part of this, and I enjoy it very much. Thank you to our listeners, and I want to wish you, Steve, Aurelia, and our listeners a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and may all your dreams come true.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, I would like to say that this is just an opportunity for me to just share with you, each and every one of you, of how we really could live our lives, the different ways we can embrace being better, doing more, and seeing more for ourselves and others. I couldn't have done this, and it couldn't have happened without Steve. And I'm just so grateful for the fact that he takes the time out and he just devotes the energy and effort to being with us. I'm so glad that Marilyn came on board. She just gives it that extra flavor that we need because she brings forth a different perspective, and it's good because it just makes us broader and makes us think outside the box and think more more emotionally, which is a good thing. I really have to tell my listeners, I have to tell all the listeners, I mean, thank you so much for listening to the shows and learning, because I've learned a great deal. I've changed my life in so many different ways based on some of the principles that I've learned on this particular segment. So I know that it has affected and impacted your lives as well. And I thank you for that, and I hope that we can bring forth more opportunities for you to make change, make things better as we go forth in the coming year. I wish each and every one of you a very, very happy holiday season. And just, you know, it's a new day. It's a new day. And just embrace it and just be glad.
Well, thank you all so very much. Once again, to all of our listeners, we wish you happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We'll look forward to connecting you once again next year on Paradigm Shifters, Principles for Life and Success. Take care, everybody. God bless.
Bye. Happy holiday.
Bye-bye.
Paradigm Shifters. Principles for Life and Success. Hosted by motivationalist Steve Duncanson. Start framing your tomorrows today.